Going back a few weeks, when we talked about Barron, it was Chris Cruzy and what was going on with The Voice. But obviously more recently, in the last week plus, it's been this horrible tragedy, this double murder, and a missing wonderful 13-year-old girl, Jamie Kloss. And culminating with more specific information, at least in terms of a vehicle search yesterday and this gathering of hope. We've got a clip here ahead from Barron School Superintendent Diane Tremblay. But I just want to say, driving north, I'm not from there. I'm from Milwaukee, where, unfortunately, murder's fairly common. I mean, it's a large metropolitan area. But driving up last night to Shell, past Barron, and I couldn't help, it was heavy on my heart and mind to think of, what does this area think? This doesn't happen in Barron.
Right.
And not one, but two murders and a missing girl. And Caleb, I don't know, I just want to, you're from Rice Lake, and so you go to church there. I mean, can you give us a little bit of kind of insight, the feel? I mean, how are folks coping in terms of your estimation?
Well, I think the only way you can cope with something like this is to turn to the only place where the hope is, and that's the Lord. I mean, we've been praying for Jamie on a regular basis before meals in our home because, I mean, this is my home, and it's one of those things where you talk about Chris, you know, so proud of Chris Cruzy being from Barron, where my wife went to school. I mean, and I grew up in Rice Lake, which meant I was in Barron all the time, to the library and the BACC and 4-H meetings and all those different things. So, I mean, it feels like home to me, too. So, I mean, we're shaken. We're shaken. Right. And when I am most shaken is when I cling the tightest to the rock that doesn't move. And so right now, I mean, there's tangible things. There is an opportunity to volunteer this morning. I know they're looking for 2,000 able-bodied folks, 18 or older. I know they will turn people away once they get to 2,000. So there is that possibility. But again, if you're able to go serve in that way too. But sometimes when we think, oh, all I can do is pray. Please, please, please never say that. Because when we say all I can do is pray, prayer works. Prayer is effective. And we've been praying fervently for the safe return of this sweet little 13-year-old, praying fervently that the Lord would bring her back safe, that the law enforcement would have open eyes, because there are so many things. I mean, you read the comments online and all these people who are trashing law enforcement because it's not quick enough for our instant gratification age. And
I thought Sheriff Fitzgerald's done incredible.
Yeah, understand that they are serving, they are giving, they are working tirelessly. I mean, incredibly long hours. And and I have a little bit more insight on these things because my dad is a police chaplain, and start understanding a little bit more about some of the back side of these things. And it's so tough for us to say from the outside, well, what's going on? Why did this take so long? Why haven't we found anything out? Please understand that there are many, many, many men and women who are going through a lot to try to find this girl.
Yeah.
And if we can help tangibly, yes, but you also are tangibly doing the best you can when you're praying to the Lord for his mercy in this situation as well.
Well, and I think two things. I think, you know, the sheriff is doing everything they can, and they're not going to release every ounce of information. It's an ongoing investigation, and I think people really just need to understand that. We aren't privy to all of the details.
Please, can I just urge people, please keep your mouth shut on social media.
Please.
Because, I mean, the amount of things that I've seen on Facebook and Twitter for people, just if you don't have anything of value to say, please don't say anything.
Somebody who I'm glad did say something is the superintendent of schools at Barron. Diane Tremblay told WEAU-TV at this gathering of hope last night,
I think hope is probably the most important thing. We have to let go of what we can't control of. And we can control if we have hope. And so we have hope. And we're going to bring Jamie home.
And so we're going to get to a Stephen Curtis Chapman song with hope ahead of the bottom of the hour weather. But Hillary?
I just wanted to add, I've been thinking about this a lot, too. We very lightheartedly talked last week about, you know, what do you do in the car at a stop sign or a stoplight? And do you look around? Are you a gawker? And you know what I'll say in the past week? I've been a gawker because I've been looking in other vehicles. And I would encourage other people to do that. Look around. Look and see who's in the vehicle next to you. And you know, I've just been looking everywhere in case anyone sights this girl. I think that's something that we can all do. And it sounds so trivial and insignificant, but keep your eyes open. And really, when you're at a stoplight, look at the people around you. I don't know. It's silly, but do it.
Well, he's back with us here on the WIB Wake Up Show, Ronnie Appleseed from Team Appleseed and Avenue Orchard. You can find out all the information at aveappleorchard.com. Ronnie, welcome back. Great to have you. And you brought us not just small treats, but literal bags of treats for each of us.
It's Christmas.
Well, it's Halloween season. You know, trick or treating. You bet. And it's great to be back.
Well, we always love having you. So what did you bring us today? I'm seeing some cider in here.
And, of course, some of those snow sweet apples.
Nice. Now, what is it that makes the snow sweet apples different? Tell us about those. Because a lot of people haven't heard about them even.
Right. Okay. We just love it because of its flavor. It really has got an awesome flavor. It's not an overpowering flavor. It's juicy. It's firm. It gives you that little hint of a buttery, caramely flavor when you eat that apple.
They really are delicious. Yeah, that was Mark.
I thought I would just go ahead and try it.
Couldn't take it anymore.
I couldn't help it. It's so good.
It is good, isn't it? I know you brought us those last year, and they were wonderful. I myself am cracking open a jug of apple cider here. I'm going to give it a little shake because you know it's real when you got to shake it a little, right?
There you go.
Yeah, so
these
I'm
are good size. These are good size. Yeah.
They are. They're nice little. Here, Mark, I'll open this one and share with everyone.
Pint sizes. This is our first year trying the pints, and we're enjoying it. We've come up with a new label on our bottles, so this is our first with them. And
people love their apple cider. I know I'm an apple cider fan. I mean, do you find that around the area?
Oh yes, yeah, definitely. And again, they especially like the fresh cider. They really enjoy that. No matter, you know, it's just so different than what's in the store that
it
they
really
absolutely
is.
Love it.
Right. Do you make your own cider or is there, like, do you get it? I mean, you use your apples,
we
right?
Use
your
apples.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
We go to Shady Maple Farms and they've got the machinery to crush and make the cider and they put it in the bottles for us and then we bring it home and
it's got a real fresh taste to it. I mean, you can just very fresh. So
I think what's really cool, I want to go back to get Hillary's reaction because folks missed it live when she had her first taste of this apple cider. But what's great about these pint sizes, Ronnie, I mean, if you want to stick them in kids' lunches for school, that sort of a thing, or you know, if you brown bag it and bring, you know, because you don't always have time to bring a whole half gallon or a gallon, but these pint sizes are perfect.
Yes, they are. We schoolings, just when people are out there walking around picking their apples.
Oh, yeah, this is a great size just for carrying around the orchard.
The farmers markets, they're doing the same thing. They're popping it open. They're drinking it as they're wandering about the farmers market. So
this is delicious.
Well, good.
I mean, this is really delicious. Yeah. I consider myself an apple cider connoisseur. No, I drink a lot of cider. This is fantastic cider. It tastes so fresh. And yeah, I'm drinking an apple. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's what you are. It's nothing but apple.
So now we should keep the store in mind now as we move ahead, right?
Right, exactly.
Explain that to the folks.
Right. The store will stay open as long as we have a sellable apple. We don't really have a set closing date. We have some issues with refrigeration this year, so we might not be able to stay open as long as we like. We do still have several varieties of apples that are in the store currently. There's plenty of cider.
There you go.
So you can get your cider.
And for folks who don't know where your store is?
We're on Highway 53, south of Eau Claire, about 3 miles south of the I-94 interchange. We're right on the highway. Can't miss us.
So if you go down past the old, old Gander Mountain, just keep on going there on 53, not hard to find. And I thought I saw on social media, you guys have some really great things going on social media right now on Facebook, but I believe there is a mystery apple that folks are invited down to try and name, correct?
Yes, by all means. When we bought the place, there was an orchard existing, which they didn't leave us a map to the trees. So we still have this one apple that is, it's a delicious apple. It's such a great eating apple. But we haven't been able to match it to anything. So you know what? Unless you come on down, taste this apple, see if you know what it is and let us know that you know what it is.
I love it.
Or
this. Do I win a prize?
Or help us name it.
I love that. That's great.
If we can't find what it really is, we're going to give it our own name.
How many types of apples are there, just curiously?
Well, I don't know.
You don't
thousands
know. Thousands,
of different,
yeah.
We have 26 varieties.
All right, that's plenty right there.
That's a lot.
All right, Caleb, can you wrap it up for us here?
Well, Ronnie, as always, great to have you with us. And I know folks have enjoyed seeing you out and about at the markets. And then just a quick plug here, just because the weather's getting colder, there are some markets that are coming up as well that folks need to be aware of in November specifically.
Right. Down to Earth is starting a winter market first Saturday of the month for 4 months, okay, starting in November. So we're going to be there. Come and see us there. Check their news media, whatever, for the hours. I know December's got different hours than the other months. And then we're back at Raw Deal starting in November on the 17th, I believe, is Saturday.
And that's in Menominee for folks who are
in Menominee at Raw Deal.
All right. Sounds good. Ronnie, you always keep busy. Thanks for sparing us 5 minutes and bringing us streets here.
Thanks for having me.
32 degrees, WWIB. Caleb, Mark, Hillary with you. And early this morning, I was greeted by the sad news that my favorite teacher of all time, the incredible 89-year-old Henry Lippold, had passed away. Eric Lindquist has written an incredible story. I think it's on the front page of this morning's Leader Telegram. I'm just checking it out online. And it's a wonderful read. He cites many of the former students. I met Henry when I first came to UW-Eau Claire in the fall of 1982. And he marked my life the whole time, to the point that he was at our wedding in 1998, wow. 20 years ago. He gave me a dictionary. Cool. He was a man of words, right?
Yes.
And he and his wife, Judy, had come to our wedding. And I called him each of the 2 years I was in Africa on his birthday. Now, how many teachers do you know well enough that marked you deep enough that you even know when their birthday is? Much less you still call them.
So you had an ongoing relationship with him.
We still did, yeah. I mean, he was, as Lindquist points out in his article, he was somebody who was the ultimate. He was always hungry to help you get a job in the broadcast business.
Wow.
One of my favorite stories, and again, I got to watch it because I could hog this whole segment. But the fact is that he came from the University of Illinois up to UW-Eau Claire. He was the proudest Blue Gold, and he would talk about Blue Golds helping Blue Golds. But one time we get a call, and in class, and it was Dennis Swanson, who was the president of ABC Sports, and
he had been
one of his students at Illinois. He called him Denny. And I'm like, this guy's connected.
Wow.
So it was incredible. I mean, just his impact in 86 or 87, he was broadcast journalism teacher of the year. Just a wonderful, wonderful guy. Last thing, Tuesdays with Maury, a great book, wonderful read. And Henry was the professor for me that always came to mind. He was my Maury Schwartz, you will. So,
I gotcha. You know, I didn't have any college, you know, real standout college professors, instructors at all. But, you know, teachers do make such an impact. And as we were talking off the air about teachers making an impact, I look at my daughters and, you know, it's awesome to see those teachers of these younger kids. Mrs. Stilp at Altoona last year. Tremendously impactful on my daughter, on my older daughter. Love Mrs. Stilp. Always just made us feel like Alyssa was amazing. And I mean, of course she is, but she was just a profound impact. And for Becca last year, Mrs. Brahan, I miss that woman. I'm like, I might need to volunteer in her classroom just because I feel like she's so amazing. It is amazing the people who dedicate their lives to the education of our young people. It's the impact they make is just phenomenal.
Absolutely. And I think I jump when I'm thinking about teachers, professors that have made an impact in my life. I jump to college only because it goes without saying. I think that my mom had the most profound impact because of the time she invested in 9 kids homeschooling and still doing it today. So I hope that goes without saying that it was my mom. But I think when I went to college, there was a requisite Bible minor, and it was something that everybody had to take. So it was just kind of like, okay, we do this, we pay for it. You kind of got out of it what you wanted to get out of it, but it was at a Christian university. It was something we had to do. And so it was easy to kind of float through some of those classes, but there was an Old Testament class. And this is coming from a pastor's kid. Dr. Chris Miller made the Old Testament come alive in a way that I never had before. And even though it really didn't have any direct bearing on my real major, you know, being a business minor and a communications major, that class honestly probably sticks out more than any other class I took in my entire college career because of his passion for the Word of God and studying it academically and studying it spiritually as well, too. And it sticks with me today more than any professor in all of my major that Old Testament class too, because it was the Word of God was living and active and real to him, and it became more real to me. And so I owe him a great debt for that.
But beyond the role of parenting and the influence there and media, boy, we get to play a part in people's lives. But boy, teachers and coaches and teachers,
right.
What an incredible sacred role, opportunity,
really
responsibility, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel so blessed that all of us have had those amazing guiding presences in our life. The beauty of this show with three of us is that we all get to bring our passions and joys to the table. So this is kind of fun because I love food. I'm just going to admit
I love food.
I love it too much. But
yeah, I love making delicious treats for my family, and the easier the better. So here's the new trend. Are you ready?
Yes.
Fried Cheerios.
Fried Cheerios.
Okay. Yes. I just found this morning, and I need to go to the store and buy Cheerios. Fried Cheerios, basically you take some butter, throw it in a pan, take some salt, throw it in a pan with some Cheerios, and you fry them. It's just that easy. So I'm like, no, is this really? This is really a thing. And people have come up with all these other different variations on this. You can go to Pinterest. I've actually been pinning fried Cheerio recipes for a while now, off the air. But garlic salt, onion powder, and Parmesan cheese.
This seems reminiscent of the various flavorings that people have with their popcorn. So it's like plain popcorn, and then you put whatever your various
this is
toppings
like the
are.
Next
so it's
level.
Sort of like the Cheerios are the popcorn. So
you know what I love
that's
this?
How I'm understanding it.
I mean, even though you're like frying them and making them crispy, it's still healthier than like potato chips, I'm guessing, because they're not deep fried. It's literally just like tablespoon of butter, smack it in the pan.
I mean, we do live in Wisconsin, so if you can fry anything in butter, we probably do.
We're just supporting our dairy farmers.
Exactly.
It's an important part of our industry. So that one sounded good. Here's one with cinnamon sugar. Cinnamon sugar fried Cheerios. Sounds delicious.
It sounds easy, which is nice for snacks
I know.
As well.
That's what I'm loving. This one seems a little more hoity-toity. It's butter and truffle oil.
Oh, dear.
Along with Parmesan cheese and a little dash of Old Bay seasoning.
Not quite as thrifty there.
Not quite as thrifty. I want to try this. Guys, if I fry up some Cheerios today, will you eat them tomorrow?
Sure.
This one has commit to that. Sure.
Nutmeg, cinnamon, and cloves, and mini marshmallows.
Do they have pumpkin spice fried Cheerios? Because it does seem to be tis the season for that.
They will after I play around with it.
Yeah.
I think this sounds good. I want to try this. Cinnamon sugar.
It.
I want a little dash of like apple pie, something in there.
Oh, sure.
Be good, right?
The food item I almost brought in the other morning was Evelyn on Sunday night. I think she was making bacon wrapped potatoes, and she made a whole tray of them. I ate a few. I came up, though, the next morning. I'm like, where are they? And I found out last night, she's like, Dawson really liked them. So, anyhow, the junior in high school
sounds
finished
delicious.
Them off.
So. Sounds delicious.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.